welcome to this episode of Raw Health Rebel Podcast. I am extremely excited because it is me, Lisa, hosting this episode with my very good pal, Viva Tanya. What a great episode. We didn't really have much of an agenda. We wanted to see where the conversation would flow. We end up talking about manifestation, German new medicine, how our body holds trauma, reconnected parenting, our nervous system. We talk about so much stuff in here, and I love it. I love chatting to Viva. She is such an inspiration, and definitely go follow her and check out her Facebook group. Links are all at the bottom of this podcast. Let me know what you think. We do talk at the end about whether we're going to make this a more regular thing. So yeah, let me know. Love hearing from you. Enjoy. Oh, just to add in as well, at the very beginning, you'll hear me say it was like an assault course trying to get to this podcast. I had a fall, a quite a big fall on the way down to record. My headphones stopped working, microphone stopped working. The tutor arrived late. I spilt water all over my laptop, but we don't give up. It happened. So thank you, Viva. Of course, to get here.
Mate. Devil tries to intervene when it's you and me, doesn't he?
Jesus Christ, honestly, my hands are I'm like sitting on the floor because I went to sit on the chair in here and spilt water all over myself and it just missed the laptop. So yeah, I got half my glass of water as I got down here. Fuck you, devil man, who's trying to stop us. Yeah. You know our video on BitChute? You know the one we did that got banned on YouTube?
Yeah.
I put it on BitChute and that can't play anymore.
I swear to God, it's my face. They've run facial recognition on me. Because when I tried to start a second Instagram account recently, because the growth is never going to happen. I know you're in the same boat. You don't appear on searches. You lose followers every day. So I started a new Facebook account, and I was so sneaky with it. Kev, who's never... All Kev does is share the fucking BBC. Kev's on zero lists. I got Kev to start me a new Instagram account. He gave me the login details, right? All from him. Started growing massively. The moment I appeared, my face, boom, banned. I tell you, I was doing a mentorship for my Kangen team, right? And I thought the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to pull them all into a private Facebook group and I'm going to do weekly lives. And the two words I'd been using when I'd been communicating this to my team, which was in WhatsApp, were Facebook group and Facebook lives, right? Those were the two words I was using. The Monday morning came to launch it. It was last morning of the spring equinox. So I'm going to equinox energy. I'm going to take us all on this, you know, fucking mentorship. Went to log into my Facebook. They'd pulled a post from 3 years ago of me on the beach. This post has been flagged for nudity. For 30 days, you're not allowed to start any Facebook groups, do any Facebook lives. It was specific. It wasn't even like you're restricted for 30 days, you're banned for 30, you know, all the usual bullshit.
Yeah.
It was nudity from a post from 3 years ago, and the two restrictions were no Facebook lives and no group activity.
You know what? It is. Let's just stay on like this. Sod it. Like,
this was leading people. This was leading my Kangen team through fucking sales. I do not even speak anymore on bullshit. This was sales techniques, taking a sales team through it. But I know the reason they don't want me is because of what I inspire people to do when they do start working with me, whether they're pulling the kids out of school. And, you know, taking responsibility for the health and start slaughtering their own fucking chickens. So they just don't want my advice out there.
No, they don't. But do you know what? We really... Biba, let's stay on here. Sod it. Like, you know, because we're going to probably just release the audio anyway. But they can just leave however the universe wants us to come out, however this video setting is. Without a doubt, right, listen, because I think I said this to you. I once had a client and they could only talk to me on Facebook Messenger, do a call. And I did it on Facebook Messenger. I wouldn't normally ever do that, but I was like, sod it, this is the only way we're going to speak. And they mentioned period pants.
This on the last chat, and then period pants. My friend Sally, she's 25, no kids, right? Doesn't have anything to do with child raising, what's best for your kids, any of it. Her and I were in the car. I was discussing forest schools. She starts getting Facebook ads for forest schools, which is as far removed from her demographic. And like, you can't, nothing to do with algorithms, like you and the period pants, nothing, something you've ever searched, thought about, looked at. That's Sally with forest schools, like zero on her radar. And she's suddenly getting inundated with ads for forest schools.
They do. They without a doubt listen. But actually, something I want to ask you, like, because I've been sort of challenging myself, you know, we still stay on the metaverse. Like, I've got a Facebook group where I give sort of homeopathy, you know, chit chat. Yeah. And I was like, why the fuck am I still doing this? I am channeling people to this. Like, I need to
I've become a big, big lover of social media, and I never, ever thought I'd say that. It's still nothing I'll ever allow my children to be aware of until they're at least 30, and I'm not exaggerating, bare minimum 19. But I've developed a real, real love for social media. Every single thing I manifested and brought about has been via social media. When I first started speaking out, when I first monetized my social media, it was because it was my ebook. I made an ebook and I was selling it for like £3.95. I sold that because of social media. I found the audience because of social media. And that was the start of mine and my kids' new life. And then I've been lucky because it's 3 years this month since I started planning my escape. And I've been going back through my diaries, and I found the first home I found. Fuck me, I'm going to cry. Aww. But the first home I found, which was a caravan in Crete, and it was... this family, like, just took me and my girls in, and it was... I'd only been in Crete 10 days, right? I'd been in Crete, and I knew nobody. And she found me via social media. And the business opportunities that have all presented themselves to me have been via social media. And I think it's such a heinous, heinous place. But, and the trick I'll always tell people with social media is it's like with anything, just flick the switch and become the creator and not the consumer. But then when you are people like us and Alec and, you know, all the other brilliant voices out there, it becomes really fucking frustrating because you're creating to an abyss because they won't let you get seen. But I do think there's so much polarity now in the world. Everything's got this like good and bad, this yin and yang thing going to it. Not that there is a bad, but I have really shifted my relationship with social media, and I do actually now think it can be the most incredibly rewarding space. And I know that it was integral in my awakening with social media. There was a Facebook group called Arnica that I found Jacqueline Dunn in Arnica. We formed a friendship in there. I'm going back now. So how old's Tabitha? Tabitha's almost 9. So 9 years ago, I was spending my evenings in Arnica like I was going to a book club. Like, I'd put my kids to bed, come downstairs, light a spliff, and get into Arnica. And it was this, like, it was the only place I knew where other people were, like, questioning things and were looking at alternative ways to, like, raise the children. And I just think there can be so much good that's come from it, but it has become like, it is a fucking cesspit. But you just need, like everything, you need to be able to work it to your advantage. You can work anything to your advantage if you like. Try, I don't know.
Yeah, do you know, and actually it's easy to not be grateful for what it's given, because you're right. I mean, during lockdown, that's where I found like my proper tribe, you know, during lockdown on social media, and people that like you that I haven't met, and Alex Eck and other people become friends, and they're not even, you know, I've never met them in person, but I think those couple of years navigating that without those voices to connect to, it would have been incredibly lonely. So you're right, we have to use it to our advantage.
And I think it's been a massive part of the global awakening, of like the collective shift, because I remember when it did first all start kicking off, this literally this month 3 years ago, and the biggest feeling I had was one of isolation, not in the sense of lockdowns, but in the sense that I couldn't find anybody in my circle that knew what I was seeing, even the women that homeschool, you know, because I was already at that point an established homeschooler, Lola had been free birthed, you know, I was already in that place. And even in those circles, the homeschooling circles and the anti-jab circles, people were still like fucking buying the bullshit. And I used to, it was the most isolating time I've ever felt. And I remember thinking like, God, why can't we all just, and I started speaking out on social media, and that's when I started, like you said, finding my tribe, finding, oh, look, hang on, there are quite a lot of other people also thinking this. And then I moved into this really resentful space of, why aren't we all together? Like, if we were all together, we'd be, you know, we'd be able to, like, I mean, I was having these visions of, like, communities forming and communes forming. And I now also really hold the belief that we were all so scattered for that reason, because you have to have these individual pockets of, like, light in these dark places. And it was social media, again, that made all of us feel we're not alone. And if we had all got together and we had all been in the same place, it'd been a fucking disaster. Because speaking from experience, I've tried these things, tried the last 3 years, like trying to build this shit, doesn't work. Just go and do your own thing, and these small knit pockets will keep forming globally, you know, scattered all over. So, no, yeah,
I'm liking. Do you know what? That's you. I completely. That's almost exactly how I felt. You know, I was like, when are we going to connect in real life with everyone? And then I remember, and actually it was on the podcast, I think it was with my friend Chad, who's been on before. I said to him on one podcast, I think we're separated by design. Like, it has to be this way. Otherwise, yeah, we'd just be having our own party and a commune, and we'd just,
yeah, it'd just be them versus us. And it's not them versus us, it's all of us having a collective experience. And so, like, when, you know, whenever anyone does say the best thing you can do, but like, I got a question on a Q&A once, and it was Do you think the collective shift's going to happen? And I think there is this point, people think that there's going to be this bit, there's going to be a day where it's all announced. There's going to be a day where, like, the media say, like, oh, we were bought and paid for. It is, do you know what I mean? They think there's going to be, and it's like, that's never going to happen. As soon as you wake up and as soon as you start doing the work, that's, you've shifted the collective. And when the next person does it, you shift the collective. When the next person does it, you shift it. It's like, that's all it is. There's no them versus us. Mm-hmm. We're all just one. And just do your shit. Work on yourself. Like, your family, your children are the greatest thing you could ever work on, as opposed to trying to, like, you know, preach and fix everybody else's.
Absolutely. Amen. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. So, do you know what, actually, we haven't really planned at all what we're going to talk about. Yeah, I know there's a few things you want to do. No, it's great. But can I just ask, actually, one thing I've been thinking of doing is almost, I want to do a few podcast episodes where I go back to some of the people I've had on more regularly and just see where's things at now, you know, just checking in posts, because there was so much during COVID, you know, of like, well, for me, I actually now I'm like, wow, what a traumatic experience was that. Mm-hmm. Because although I wasn't traumatized by COVID, like the fear of germs, I look back and I was like, I actually was in fear. I was fear that my freedoms were going to be taken away. I was fearful that I was never going to be able to travel again. There was so much fear, like, on the other side, so to speak. And now...
There really was. Like, that's one of the things that's jumped out at me so much from reading these journal entries from 3 years ago. And I never want to lose that feeling, because it was sheer terror. The conflict, there'll be some serious nervous system regulation that has taken 3 years to try and settle. From both sides, I will maintain that I was infinitely more frightened than anybody that was scared of a virus. Mm. I had a genuine, real fear that my children were going to get rounded up and taken away from me under guise of quarantine. Like, when people say you were so brave to leave, it's like, I was a genuine refugee. I grabbed my children and I ran from something that I saw as an immediate threat to our freedoms and our life. I would have fucking swum if I'd had to. Make no mistake. Mm. And the conflict shocks that were accumulated in that time are just as valid as all of those that were accumulated because people were imagining that they could catch the fucking plague from their Sainsbury's shopping trolley. Fucking moron. At least my threat was valid. It wasn't. It wasn't
valid. Not like either.
If it was to ever happen again, there's one thing. I will never be in that fear vibration again, which I'm grateful for, because one thing that has come out of the last 3 years is my deep, deep, deep inner standing now of just what a divine, sovereign, powerful being I am. And fuck all that'll come my way now that comes from them, that comes from any form of legislation or attempted legislation or whatever your next planned threat is, be it terrorism, an alien invasion, or the bubonic plague 3.0. I have zero fear. Now, I will never be back in that fear vibration. It can't exist for me because I'm so aware now of my sovereignty. But I love having the documentation there to go back to, because, like, it was intense. Like, when we're looking at it from a German new medicine as well, homeopathic viewpoint of what conflict shocks have occurred. Times like those were some serious fear. That was some serious fear, regardless of what side of the fence you were on.
Yeah, and I'm sort of reflecting on that too, because I think the last year for me was this really, like, just sense of shock, depression, like, what the fuck was all that about? Like, everyone's just gone back to normal, even more disorientating in some ways, because at least during all of that, I felt like it was more conscious, and suddenly it's just everyone's gone back to sleep, and it's like trying to process what that was all. But it comes back to, it doesn't really matter what everyone else is doing. It comes down to what we're doing and doing the work. And now, nervous system, actually, I just want to put a plug, absolutely not affiliated with them whatsoever, but the Reconnected Parenting, which, thanks to you, Viva, this is manifestation, right? I saw you sharing a
story. Why the world doesn't take my advice, I don't know. And I don't just my advice, when I tell you to buy something and enroll in it, do it.
So Viva shared on her story on the Sunday, I think it was Sunday the 12th of March, I remember, about 3 o'clock, I saw her story saying, this is one of the things I'm investing in this year. And I clicked on it, and it was Reconnected Parenting. And it was, the first post I saw was basically, the mother's nervous system controls the whole family. And the second one was, you know, will it help for children that have got sort of strong-willedness, let's put it that way. And I was like, well, this is the fucking course for me. And then I saw it close the next day, and I just signed up. But that like within about an hour, and everyone else on the coaching calls is like, I followed you for years at Lena and Emma, and they're great. But I was like, I know, I've no idea who you are, but I'm completely trusting, and it's amazing, and it's all about.
It is next level. That is the kind of stuff that needs to be given out to new mothers. I mean, forget your ridiculous whatever it is that they do in the system these days. I wouldn't even know. But That was a real moment for me as well. When I only discovered them recently, it was Emma had free birthed her surprise twins, and quite a few of people that I follow were suddenly sharing the most delicious newborn babies that you've ever, like, I don't know if you're following her stories, but I
I'm not actually. I'm trying not to be on Instagram.
Don't do it. If you're not prepared to have another baby, don't watch them, because I've never seen such. It's ovulation inducing content. There's no other word for it. So she came across my radar because she'd surprised twin free birth, right? Which is such an incredible, beautiful story. And these babies were so like well cooked and peaceful and just edible. So I begin following her content literally just for the babies, just so I could have this, you know what a newborn hip fix is like. It's nothing like it. And then she offered this free 21 day nervous system reset, and I dove into that. And it was just one of those things where you find a teacher and you find the way of communicating with you, and you just immediately know that you're going to do everything they do from this point forward. And she was one of those for me. And just brilliant. It was a light bulb moment when she shared it. It was a nervous system reset that she shared, that the family is one nervous system and the mother is the center of that. And I was like, oh shit. Shit, my whole family's running on coffee and weed. Shit, and dysregulated trauma. Shit, it was just that, you know, that next level when you think you're at this nice plateau on your journey where you're like, right, and oh no, I just got like fucking kicked a level deeper. So no, I'm loving the lessons, and I'm loving working with Emma and Eleanor. I think they're amazing.
I'll put a link to it. It is amazing.
Yes, it's amazing. No affiliation. I don't get any affiliation from this at all.
I wish I did. I might have to ask. But yeah, no. It should be before you become a parent, even.
It really should. And it's, again, though, breath work is, it was Wim Hof breath work that literally flicked a switch. I was, you know, I'd been in this, I now call it my dark night of the soul, which went on for 14 months, but at the time it was postnatal depression. So when I refer to my dark night of the soul, I had this newborn baby that I just had the most glorious free birth with. And then literally went up, I came very, 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 very close twice to taking my serious attempt on my own life. And it was when it was 14 months into it, where I didn't see an end point. I just didn't. It was 2 a.m. in the morning. I'd been scrolling, looking for vans. I was going to grab Tabitha, leave the baby and just leg it. And I came across a Russell Brand interview on YouTube. I'd been looking at other things. Just one of those God-given moments. And he was interviewing Wim Hof. And I started watching this interview. And Wim took you through a breathwork exercise on the interview. And I laid down and thought, I've never done breathwork in my life. I am going to cry telling the story, I can already tell. But I started doing this Wim Hof breathwork exercise, and midway through it, I started feeling every emotion that I should have felt for Lola, you know, like the crazy, crazy love. And I ran upstairs and I grabbed her. And from that moment, I started doing everything Wim Hof told me. I looked at all of his content, and it later transpired. I'm going to get through this because I think it's really important, but it later transpired that Wim Hof came to develop his technique because his wife killed herself when his child was really young. And I wrote to him and I said, I know that you found this method because your children lost their mother, but your method gave my children back their mother. And it was breath work. It was that breath work session that kicked, that like, I don't want to say cured me, but there was an instantaneous shift. And that will never be suggested by any form of medical professional will ever suggest breath work to a severely postnatally depressed mother. And yet it was the one thing that literally I felt, up until that point, I'd felt like I was looking at her through a pane of glass. And there was something separating us. And within that one session, it's a 20-minute session. You're not just sitting there. Like, you have to lie down on the floor. Like, this shit transports you somewhere. But it was as though that pane of glass was smashed. Amazing. Immediately. And you know, it's as you know from this reconnected work, I know there's a lot of focus on conscious play and things like that, but the focus of the breath is, and it's something so simple and it's something so accessible because everyone's doing it or you're dead. So when you can start to do it with intention, that took a turn, didn't it? Didn't know we were doing that.
Thank you for sharing. That's so like powerful and will help others.
I'll never forget because I wrote to him this like massive long letter and I was like, you've changed my life, you've given my children back their mother, and he wrote me back the most dumb reply ever. I fucking love that man, but he was just like, hey man, that's so cool. That's so awesome what I do. Like, I fucking love you, Wim. I do. But and it just goes to show how we are all so fucking connected. Like, there are no such things as coincidences, okay? I found that interview when I needed to find it. Like, you saw my story that day with the reconnected, like, you needed to see it. I know that the video I made almost 3 years ago in April of 2020, the amount of people that said that came to me when I really, like, because of that video that came to me, and I went to see my grandma, and, you know, otherwise I wouldn't have done. We all think that it's all happening as it's supposed to, and like, ways. Mm-hmm. So even these horrendously painful lessons, like the postnatal depression, things that you don't think like you're ever going to come through. I know you shared something incredibly vulnerable in one of my posts recently that was just must have been one of the most heart-opening, heart-debilitating lessons for you. And it's all just, but we see like where these lessons then take us, don't we? And it's just,
we do. And we and I think actually, oh, I'm gonna get all upset. I feel, do you know what I see from sort of my homeopathic perspective, where people get stuck, you know, some trauma or something happens and they can't get out of that state that they're in, and they stay stuck in that, and then they can't move forward. Like, if you told me years ago when I lost my first baby that everything happens for a reason,
you'd have killed them, and rightly so, because it's nobody's job to it's your journey, and you come to that lesson when and if you're ready to come to it. Like, you have every right to bitch slap the person who's saying to the grieving mother, it's all for a reason. Like, you've every right, hear me, you've every right to floor that bitch. Like, it's your lesson to come to. It's like when, I spent years, like, trying to wake people up, go through my social media, years screaming, and like I'd be that person that'd go into the comments. You know, I'd see a mum had just taken a kid to the MMR. I'd be that person jumping into her comments, mm-hmm. telling her that she'd done something wrong. Like, no, if these people come to me, I'll always speak. Of course I will. But it's your journey. It's your job to work out that injecting your child is ultimately to its detriment. It's not our job. I liken it to if someone's fast asleep, someone that you love's fast asleep in your house, you shook them awake and started screaming stuff at them, they've every right to punch you in the face. Like, why not just leave them sleeping, wrap them in a blanket, and make them feel really, really safe? And I think that's the same with like that. Like, you'd have had every right in that moment to punch anyone that would suggest.
But I can see it come
to the conclusion.
Yeah, and I see though as well how people get stuck though in those states. There's no, and I think that's where things like breath work or homeopathy, obviously I'm biased, but the amount of times I look back at the traumas in my life, I think, God, I wish I'd had a remedy. You know, I wouldn't. We need to go through those emotions, but sometimes you can say.
I think the same, and I always just think, I wish I'd just somatically released that. The amount of times now that I scream and punch things in a safe, controlled way, I'm not doing this in front of my kids and losing it, you know, they're aware. Mummy's going to go and do some rage release. Does anybody want to join me? You know, but the amount of times I haven't screamed at the top of my lungs or punched into fucking pillows or my, and it's, you know, I don't think I started doing it until I was 40. the amount of fucking shit that had to come out, like.
And do you know what, I've only just started doing it, but the other day I was triggered by something and I was so, and my husband came to speak to me and I'm like, just, oh God, you know, you just like, and he goes, Lisa, and you just go for a run or, you know, or just punch the, you know, punch something. And so I was in the room, I just got a pillow and I like whacked the crap out of the armchair. And I was like, oh, I feel so much better now. Mm. But when we're taught to like, that's losing control or...
It's something that they said in the Reconnected, actually, which is how when your kids' tantrums are triggering you, or when they trigger anybody, it's because we're seeing such authenticity in that moment, and like that is how your emotions should be. If you are feeling angry and resentful, you may throw yourself on the floor and thrash and scream. It's me that's uncomfortable observing it. And I loved that reflection, how they said, you know, we weren't allowed to be in that space as children, but that was only because it was triggering your parents, who weren't allowed to be in that space mm-hmm. as children, which was triggering their parents. And you see how it's just been this, like, when they say it stops with you, like, nobody, we all get wound up when our kids are losing it, but they're actually in their most authentic in that moment because they've got all these emotions in their body that shouldn't be suppressed. Mm-hmm. If what you need right now is a 10-minute thrash on the ground while you're punching, like, fair enough, it's not always appropriate when it's in the middle of Tesco. But when when it starts being able to become more of an integrated part of, right, observe, I'm feeling resentment, I'm feeling rage. Okay, let's transmute it. Let's do it in a controlled. God, we've got a smash corner. You can throw a glass at the wall if you're really pissed off. Jam jar.
Oh, I need to do that. And we are so suppressed as a society. We just need to realise. And I think, yeah, appropriate time to release, as you say, not in Tesco's, but
especially when you come to this journey, later on, you've obviously got you've sometimes got like these 8-9 year olds that have never had any, like, they've been suppressed all that time, and it's, there's a lot to come out, like, God bless, like, I've got 40 years to come. Stand back, people.
Oh, yeah. So actually, talking about emotions and the effect that they have on us and our nervous system. I mean, we've touched on it before. I can't remember if we touched on it on our last podcast, but I think we did briefly, but about German new medicine and how it integrates homeopathy and just life generally and illness. Because you've shared a story recently on your Instagram page. Are you happy to share it?
At this point that I'm an open book and we'll talk about anything. What do you want to know?
Well, you were talking about UTI and connection with German medicine.
With Kev. This has been just, yeah, this has taken my understanding of not only German new medicine to the next level, but how your body will tell you something before you have registered it in your conscious mind. So to give some backstory to your amazing listeners, I got my first UTI, which was diagnosed officially as cystitis, after my very, very first sexual encounter. And I went on to get it pretty much after every sexual encounter I ever had. Now, bearing in mind, I was a sex worker for 15 years. So it became a real... It just became a part of my life. I was on the antibiotic trimethoprim so often over such a long period of time that I became immune to it. I'd know the immediate signs in my body. I thought I had all these triggers, like certain sexual positions, caffeine, alcohol. And I stopped working in the sex industry when I met the girl's father, Kev. And Kev and I were together for, well, 10 years, and during that relationship, the UTIs began to subside until it got to a point where I was no longer having them. And, you know, we had a brilliant sex life and all the rest of it. And we broke up this time 3 years ago, start of all the bullshit, when it became apparent that what he was scared of and what I was scared of were two wholly different things. And what I needed in that moment for my family wasn't going to come from him in the form of somebody threatening to take out Bill Gates. And so I need you to step up to the plate here, Kev. So we broke up, and you know, I left the country with his complete blessing. And then for many reasons, we didn't see each other for 2 years. He had to stay in the UK. He had a son who was in hospice care, and travel was obviously crazy for us. And for a myriad of reasons, Kev didn't see us for 2 years. And in that time, I was declaring myself and was, not just declaring myself, I was consciously celibate. I decided that I really wanted, I hadn't made any links to German New Medicine and UTIs at this point, by the way. But I've decided that, look, 15 years as a sex worker, 10 years with this, you've got some, you know, sexual abuse as a child, you've got some real shit you need to work through. Take this time to go, you know, and I was doing lots and lots of different various things, working with tantra coaches and Kiminami and my best friend Kate Lambert, who's a fucking phenomenal sex coach, and just doing all this work, doing all this work, doing all this work, and then Kev comes back. And Kev comes to visit initially, I want to say it was the September of 2022. Kev comes back into our lives, and we smashed. I had no intention of being into it with Kev, and I don't think he had any intention of coming over for that reason either. But we saw each other. Kev does this thing where he sneezes. In fact, I'd be really fascinated to know the link, if there's any link to this. Kev does this thing where he sneezes whenever he's around. And we saw each other at the airport. He started sneezing and we just smashed back into each other like industrial strength magnets, and immediately began being intimate again. I got the worst UTI I'd ever had in my fucking... I was absolutely doubled over. And at this point, I am aware of German New Medicine. So I begin looking, I'm like, right, come on, let's dive into this. And the conflict shocks behind the UTIs fascinate me. The tissue adaptation is from our primal development of when we would mark our territory. And it's a territory, it's a boundary invasion, it's a territorial conflict. So it can have many different, you know, what I find so fascinating about German New Medicine, that people, I love it when this penny drops for people, but it's how you interpret the shock. Mm. It's not the shock itself. Like somebody could lose a child and somebody could lose a wallet, and their bodies could have the same reaction. I know really highly strung people who, if they lost their wallet, it would be that'd ruin their life. Do you know what I mean? They'd get overwhelmed and it's a disaster and the whole body shuts down. So these things are so individually interpreted, but I initially interpreted it as I'd built this home, I'd built this sanctuary, and I didn't want anybody in it. And I was trying to rationalise that in my head. And we carried on being intimate, and then he left, and then he came back at Christmas. And this was the one that sort of kind of opened me up to trusting my body even more. But he came back over Christmas and it was the same thing again, sneezing, sneezing, sneezing at the airport. We're intimate again. And I felt this, because I'd been really conscious this time of telling myself, right, someone's coming, you're going to be sharing your house with somebody, you know, and all I can describe it of is it was this energy thing, but it was my body, just my bladder started immediately seizing up. And I just got all these raging symptoms. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I couldn't put my finger on it. And it lingered and it lingered and it lingered. Even after he left, it lingered and it lingered and it lingered. And then in the February, it transpired that he wasn't being honest with me. Mm. And that he had been... I ought to be really careful how I word this. He hadn't been being honest with me, and he'd also been being intimate with, he'd also been having, you know, relationships in the UK. And all I can describe finding that out was my body knew that. before he told me that, because when I, you know, when you've got a feeling but you can't understand what the feeling is, and I suppose you'd liken it to an STI, but I don't believe that disease can be transmitted. I believe that my most sacred part, my yoni, my vagina, was knew energetically that this wasn't what I was expecting. That's the only way I can describe it. Because when I found out, again, I felt the problem resolve. I wasn't suffering from cystitis, still suffering from cystitis at this point in the February, but I still had these, you know, you just feel little niggles. It almost feels like a shiver run through your bladder, or you're still aware that there's a problem that may come back and it's not quite flared up at the moment. I got this phone call. It was the complete clarity. It's like, oh, there's been infidelity. There's been more than one energetic exchange in the space. Your body was rejecting that before. I almost felt it pass through.
Amazing.
Back to every sexual experience. And it just lifted from my body. And I've been, there's a girl I follow on Instagram, Embody Jaguar. She's wonderful, but she has a similar story with bacterial vaginitis. Is that how you pronounce it? I forget. BV it's abbreviated to, and it's similar to thrush, I think. There's like, you know, similar symptoms to thrush and things like that. And I'm not saying that these are sexually transmitted infections, and I'm certainly not saying that if you suffer from any of these things and you're in a relationship that it means your man's cheating. I absolutely don't mean that. What I mean is your body will read signs and energetic imprints that you're consciously, but you're not interpreting at that time. Do you know, does that make sense?
It does.
And it makes sense for your listeners. And I don't...
No, it makes sense to me, definitely. And I think, I mean, I always bring it back to sort of homeopathy because that's the way my mind works. But I think with remedies, all they do is bring consciousness to the situation, you know, that's something that's not conscious. So one of the core remedies for probably the scenario that you've just described, but it, you know, it's a huge remedy and there could be others, but like just the most obvious one is Staphylococcus aureus, which is one of our big UTI remedies, but it has the emotional, it can originate from, actually from honeymoon sex, they say, or it can originate from sexual abuse. Just being your territory being invaded, how you interpret that, but that remedy resolves those UTI issues purely by almost bringing consciousness to the subconscious. I'm not explaining this very well myself,
because it makes complete sense. It makes complete sense to me. I really want these this to be heard by people who are perhaps you know, still struggling. It's because there's nothing worse than anything that's reoccurring. And the two things that I had reoccurring my whole life were styes, which is the eye thing.
Yeah, but that's Staphylococcus aureus as well.
UTIs. That's Staphylococcus aureus, isn't it?
Have you taken Staphylococcus aureus?
I've never taken it. I really need to get some done.
Should I just read it out quickly to my book?
Go on. Come on.
And remember, there are many other remedies. Don't everyone have the right thing to get.
I don't want people. There's people listening to this podcast who are going to immediately think that because they've got a UTI, their husband's cheating and they need Staphylococcus aureus. It's like, it's not like that. It doesn't mean that.
No, it's not. I'm just going to read this out to give you a little flavour for Staphylococcus aureus. So Staphylococcus aureus is one of our most commonly used polygrasts. The essence of the case can often be sweetness. So the patient's extremely sweet and gentle, but there can be suppression. So generally the patient is so sweet, they might not be able to stand up for themselves, or if there's been abuse in the background, or expression of anger. Staphylococcus aureus is also great for those that are angry or may have suppressed it, or anger or insults that have had to be swallowed. And so the anger can be so deeply suppressed that the patient feels guilty or ashamed, where a normal person, that normal person would feel anger. Normal person, God, but this is just old text. And sexuality, there's a lot of sexuality in this remedy. So it could be suppressed or expressed through frequent masturbation or lots of sexual partners, or there can be history of sexual abuse. So quite often it's ailments from grief, or patients who've had histories involving multiple griefs over many years, ailments from suppressed anger, ailments from insults or humiliation, tendency to throw things when very angry. There can be
depression
or weeping during the interview. They might be sentimental. During the late stages of this state, it might go to rage. There's a lot of can-be history of sexual abuse. Not always. You know, I've taken Staphysagria for when I've had UTIs. It can just be that something pissed me off that day. Mm-hmm. Remember, actually, the time I needed Staphysagria was, this is to sort of illustrate how we shouldn't get too black and white, you know, everything's a spectrum. But I remember one day I picked my kids up from school, and they're back at school, and they didn't want to leave, they wanted to play, but I needed to go. And then I was carrying my little one, and then my eldest one, who was like 4 at the time, started hitting me like in public, and I was so like, I wanted to, you know, shout, scream, like, stop doing that, but because it was in public, I was like, wait, come along, you know, really, really just as the old Lisa. Anyway, that evening I came down with a horrific UTI. I remember speaking to the my homeopath later, and he said, oh, what happened? Because I didn't connect it at the time. Mm. I was still new to this. And I said, oh, he said, what happened that day? And anything unusual? And I went, oh, my kids like really pissed me off, but I couldn't, like, I was really out. He said, how did you feel? I was like, I was really angry. You know, one of my kids was like hitting me, the other one was screaming their head off. And he said, why didn't you react and tell them? You know, and I was like, oh, because it was in public, there was loads of people, I had to sort of suppress it all back down, which I didn't have to. I could have dealt with that in an appropriate way, but for whatever reason, I suppressed it. And my body went, here, have a big UTI.
Now, this is what I mean when I say that it can be the most subtle of, everyone's interpretation of something is completely and utterly individual. And what I love so much about, like, when you start down this way of thinking is you become your own great, it's like solving puzzles within yourself. Mm-hmm. And like, I know we almost didn't make this recording today for several reasons. One of which is that my eldest Tavi has woken up this morning really not feeling too good. And it does become now my first thing whenever one of the kids is, you know, exhibiting whatever symptom. I'm like really trying, like, what's happened in the last like few days? What's, you know, with your friendships and things? Because I know we had this has only come through to me now, and I'm wondering if it might be to do. But Tabby's favourite thing at the minute is horse riding. She loves horse riding, and she's made a real connection with this horse at the stables that she goes to called Jasmine. And the other day I was walking through her bedroom and I stood on fucking Lego. And I lost it. And I made a threat that I would never carry through. And I did apologize to her afterwards and tell her that I didn't mean it. And I'm truly, truly sorry. But I did in that moment say that, you know, if you don't tidy your room, we're not doing any more horse riding lessons. And I know that because of what a sensitive little soul she is, if in that moment she thought she's not seeing Jasmine again, that's going to have had an immediate impact. So with that in mind, Lise, what should I try after this phone call if I've just made that connection?
What do you think that emotion was that she would have had?
She's so sensitive. So I want to say it would have been a potential grief reaction at the thought of, it wouldn't have been anger. That's not her initial reaction. It would have been a scared reaction. Whatever that she'd have felt at the thought of not seeing that horse again. So I want to say grief and sadness would have been.
Yeah, I mean, so ailments and grief, like, there are loads of remedies.
I know.
One of the big, well, I'm trying to think what would be in people.
My mum acted inappropriately and was a big, big bitch.
I'm just thinking, because, you know, it's all, like, I think often with these things, you want to, a remedy that people are actually going to have in their kit, you know.
It's going to be something really fucking obscure.
No, because Ignatia is a big one for grief.
That's a big grief one, it is.
But
Stagnation. I've been trying all the usual. I've been just trying the pulsatillas and the belladonnas this morning. I did throw an Ariane in there, actually. I've been throwing those in for fun when I don't know what else to try.
Yeah, I mean, Ariane's great for, like, yeah, when you're not sure. They're a bit more.
I've got all of them. I've got the war mix, the infection mix, the hay fever mix, and the gastro mix. I'm like a bloody apothecary.
Well, do you know, I haven't got my repertory here. I brought this down with me, which is only just my sort of brief guide, my desktop guide. But, you know, in our homeopathic repertory is the book, we look everything up. So you look up the ailments from grief, and then it would have all the remedies listed. So that is how homeopaths take cases. I'm going to do a little plug here. I will be releasing a course soon to do that more in-depth way, because that's what people are asking for. So you'd look up like ailments from grief, and then it would have, you know, all those remedies, and then you'd put in other symptoms, and then you'd see which remedy came up most to cover those symptoms. But is she what's her main symptom? Has she got a fever at the minute? Or
the main symptom, and struggling cough, raspy, chesty cough. Yesterday, she seems to start yesterday with just what I call the hay fever allergy sneeze, one after another, after another, after another, after another, and she couldn't pause in between, and a very, very runny nose. That was yesterday. She's not got that anymore today. Today, she's got a temperature. Very raspy, sort of laboured breathing. I mean, I say that, I can see her out the corner of my eye now playing with her friends.
I would definitely look at Ignatia, because it is a cough. We say Ignatia is air hungry because they often are sighing, or there can be like chest and cough issues.
Okay, because that sounds quite possible. I should maybe post it via WhatsApp later, my dear.
Yeah, do, because I want to look up the sneezing, because
that's a consultation.
No, the sneezing's interesting because, okay, this is something else for those wannabe homeopaths. A few times that me and Bieber have been talking, sneezing's come up, and it's like not in the most usual of context, because you've spoken about Kev sneezing.
I would still love to know, and he's done it, like he's done it since he was, you know, a teenager. He sneezes when he gets around.
Then you've said about Tabby sneezing before she gets ill. It's like, what does the sneezing before a significant thing represent for you? So that's what I want to look up, sneezing.
I do think she carries a lot of Kev's energetic imprints as well. I mean, physically, she's his absolute, like, no DNA test required. They are the mirror image of each other. And she's very sensitive, which he is, and she loves to help. She loves to be the helper, the one to help people, the one to, you know, get things done, which is him as well. So I do think that there are, what's the word I'm looking for? It begins with M. I can't think of it. Myisms.
Oh yeah, myisms.
Yeah. She's got his energetic imprints. So the sneezing's quite interesting, yeah.
I want to look that up. I'm annoyed, actually. I nearly brought my repertory down with me and I didn't, but I'm going to look that up, because I don't know if there is a rubric is the word symptom in out that we look in our book.
I once read somewhere, because I found it interesting with it being when he's like specifically sexually aroused. I once read somewhere that a sneeze releases the same chemicals in your brain as an orgasm. When I say I've read that, that might have literally just been a meme. When I say I've read it, I don't think it's all come from a book. So take that with a pinch of salt. But it's something that's all, it's interesting.
Right. There's a couple of things I want to ask, actually, because I'm conscious of time, right?
So go away.
But I wanted to ask, actually, because you are like the manifestation queen. So what do you think? This is sort of for me personally.
I'll give you a manifestation lesson live on your podcast.
What do you think about sharing? I feel like I keep reading lately about, because what I'm trying to manifest, I haven't shared with anyone. You kind of know, I've kind of told you a bit. And then my husband and my kids, but I haven't really told anyone. And I sort of feel like when you're manifesting, can other people's energy stop it from happening? Is it better?
Absolutely it can. absolutely it can. I told the two things I credit two of my biggest successes are my free birth and starting a new life with my children. Even Kev thought we were going to have a midwife at the birth. Didn't even tell Kev we weren't having a midwife because I couldn't be. You will take, and I didn't tell anybody other than I told three people I was leaving the UK. I told my son, Kev, and my very two dear friends at the time. And I made it clear when I told them that I wasn't interested in their opinions. You can absolutely take other people's energies on, and it's where it's a super, super, super important part of manifesting, because part of manifesting is I like to get my clients to imagine themselves as containers, right? And things can shoot holes in your container that can cause you know, all your shit to leak out. And what a container also needs is super, super, super strong boundaries. Your story is yours and yours alone. Now, to give you an example, and I fucking love using this example with the power of the mind, there's a case study that Dr. Nicole Lapira references in her book, How to Do the Work. I'm referring to the holistic psychologist.
Amazing book. Amazing.
Thank you. Well, I mean, read it again. She references this guy who was, I'm sure you know the story I'm going to reference, but he goes to the doctors, he gets given a terminal diagnosis, and he gets told he's got something like 6 months to live. And sure enough, within those 6 months, he passed away. And when they did the autopsy, there was nothing wrong with him other than him being dead. Not a single bit of cancer in his body, no obvious sign of disease. The only thing that there was that had killed that man was the diagnosis. I guarantee he didn't keep that diagnosis to himself. I guarantee what happened was he went to the doctor, got that diagnosis, and he was first go, Brian, I've been given 6 months to live. Jesus Christ, Jeff, that's awful. I bet Jeff picked up the phone. You know, Brian, he's been given 6 months. Honestly, I say it, yeah. You know, Beaver, yeah, she's going to start a new life and create with two young kids. She's no money. Is she fucking mental? Bet she ends up back on the game. Bet. Other people's stories and energies will absolutely impact. If you know you want to do it, you're going to do it. What does it matter what anybody else thinks about it? You don't need, we only want, like, people dump, right? The minute something happens, the first thing someone wants to do is phone somebody and dump. Why? Because all you're doing in that, and when they don't say, if they don't say what you want them to say, you're pissed off. Why? Because you want that, you want energetically to build on what it is that you're feeling. So if you're feeling that your husband's a lying, cheating rag, you immediately want to phone somebody and get validation on that, because you want to give energy to it. You want to give energy to the story. Everything is just your story. If you've seen it and it's your vision, trust that it's yours. The last thing you need is other people's imprints on it. I'm telling you now that if I've given him the name Jeff, the guy who dropped down dead just because he was told he was going to die. I promise you, it's right. The opposite happens. So, and then go after you've read How to Do the Work, Dr. Nicole Lapira, go on to read The Journey by Brandon Bays, because she goes to the doctor and she gets diagnosed with a tumour. And you know what she does? She refuses to tell anybody whose immediate reaction will not be, you've already healed it, Brandon, what's your problem? You're already healed. She ended up telling something like four people. Same thing. Do you think, I'm not having my glorious free birth if every single person I tell is, oh, really, I couldn't have done that because the cord came round my baby's neck 19 times and I'd have died because I lost 9,000 litres of blood on my... Fuck off! Your story is your story is your story. You don't need anybody else's energetic imprint on it at all. Trust you. Select your circle. Like, only tell people things that you know are either going to give you the badass encouragement, yes, you can, that you need it. I know what your dream is. I can already fucking see you there, naked, sipping, doing whatever you want, mate. It's as good as done. Get me a spare room for when you're there.
Do you know what? When we stop recording, I'm going to fill you in on a little bit what's happened since. Sorry, listeners, you can be
when it comes to manifesting, you're allowed to dream as big as you want. You're allowed to keep your dreams to yourself. You're allowed to keep it all to yourself. And take that through life, though. Stop, anyone that's now, I bet, stop phoning people and bitching about your diagnosis and bitching about anything that you don't want energy on. Where attention goes, energy flows. And you find you have to stop sharing as well, the more successful things become, because it ends up people don't want to then hear about the good stuff, because that's network marketing, that's pyramid scheme. You're going to learn the
I want to ask you
people
about
just
that.
Don't want to hear stuff, and you start really seeing it all as just a block. Just a block. There's serious blocks around wealth. My landlady, who I absolutely manifested, she's now my best friend, but she's a Bitcoin expert. Like, talk about pulling in the people that you need. And she speaks passionately about Bitcoin on social media, because she's like, Bitcoin to her is what's going to save everybody, right? Like, look, you're worried about the financial crisis. And she shares on Bitcoin like we share on fucking conflict shocks and, you know, living your best life. And she gets these mega trolls. And we were talking about this yesterday, and she said, I can't understand. She said, these people agree with me on everything, on chemtrails, on natural immunity. You know, this woman's a regenerative farmer who slaughters her own animals. She's a big truther following, for want of a better word. And she has these dedicated people that, this is a scam, this is going to destroy. When I started selling Kangen, again, people that, you know, 3 minutes ago I'd been their guru, suddenly, this is a pyramid scheme, this is network marketing. Let me tell you, one of the biggest, that they both hold a similar block, it's wealth. People get a real block around. But anyone that's trolling you, I guarantee, is because they could. She's made a fucking fortune in Bitcoin, that woman. Fucking fortune in it. She's not. What triggers people is when someone who's no different to them starts achieving things that, is wealth particularly. Wealth triggers a lot of people. So don't even know we've just come on to this. The block now. It's very easy for me to see, like, what's a block and what's a genuine concern.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. Actually, my other question was about wealth. So I there's two things I'm eyeing up to buy, both which I've wanted for ages, and they're both network marketing. And I've spoken to you about this, right? I have this to be completely honest, I just have this, what you've said, like, I've got money blocks and I'm working through them, but there's this ick factor to do with anything that this is sort of pyramid, you know, network marketing.
Yeah, and affiliate marketing, network marketing, all of it, yep.
So I asked my 11-year-old, who's very wise, I said, there's something I want, there's two things I want, and the thing is, you know, I said, they're this sort of, they get this bad reputation because, and I explained how it worked, and she went, that's amazing. You win, they win, the company gets money, and the people, everyone gets money, and it doesn't go to the big advertising. That's absolutely amazing. That was an 11-year-old that's got no issue and baggage with money. And that was, you know, kids speak the truth. And I just thought, yeah, why? What is it with us adults that actually surely it's better to share?
Got blocks that we don't realize. You think you get to a certain point and you start being able to recognize them by the reaction that they give you in your body. So to give you like a really out there example, I've started dating again. So as I discussed earlier, you know, I've been celibate for a long time, and then I was holding this vision that my family were going to reunite, and then when all of that, you know, came, that's not the reality that's going to be created. It's time to date. And I've started dating again, and it's brilliant. And it's thank you. And it's, talk about manifesting. I'm banned off Tinder. I'm banned off Bumble. God literally dropped a handsome man into my kitchen because he came to the local homeschooling meetup as a single father. Hermione Granger, mate. Spectre Patronum! And I had a massive block around him because he's wealthy. And I'm sat talking to my friend Yule, and she's like, watch this. So I'm like, I don't do wealthy men, because wealthy men for me are indicative with me being a prostitute, with them must have come by the money in an unethical way. Must be some creepy corporate advertiser. These are all the things. And I had no idea I've been holding on to that, but it was an immediate reaction in my body. It was like, no, I don't want to date him. Why he's got money? And it was because I'd been holding, you know, 24-year-old Biebs would only have dated a man with money, and that's because she wanted the Louis Vuitton handbag and the ring. Do you know what I mean? It was taking me back to that place. That's the kind of woman that likes men with money. I'm not that person. It's like, hang on a minute, shh, because you can calm yourself down. Like, these are blocks. This is money is not indicative of what a person is. Actually indicative that you've got a really grounded root chakra. If you're wealthy, if you must know Beaver. So, all right. So, and you're making money now. So law of attraction, reflection-wise, you will be mirroring into people. Do you know what I mean? But I have this massive, well, not just one, but several around, like, what men with money meant they must be and who that must mean I was. And I didn't want to be that person anymore. And that's a nice, charming, kind, funny, generous, like, guy, like, you know, like, stop it, Beaver.
Yeah.
So no, the blocks, you learn to recognize them in your body. You learn to sort of be like, that's not mine. That doesn't belong to me. Where's that come from? And then you sit through it and it's like, it's all just puzzling. It's all just piecing yourself back together. Yes. Like, where does belief come from? Why do we have that opinion? Why have we got this rash? Why have I got that UTI?
It never ends. Constantine, what are you up to? Where can people connect with you? What are you doing?
Started a Facebook group that I give free fecking manifestation coaching in. If you're not in that, where are you? Free your mind and your arse will follow. It is a Facebook group that I'm giving free stuff away in.
Can I just interject with something? Sorry to interrupt, but I just want to say, people must go test that, try it out. I've only done your first the day one, but I tell you what, it was doing that. That's where I realized where I was going to live after doing that, because I've been, you know, I was like,
the amount of people in that group who are telling me that they're manifesting money and they're just having unexpected things come into them. I'm like, no, dude, stop acting surprised. I've been telling you all for years this shit works.
So join that group. I'll put a link to the group.
Because I'm also launched. I've got a private container launching 12th of April, and I'm only sharing details in that group. So if you want to work with me and if you want to manifest your dream life and step into your dream reality, hit me up in that group. I'll walk you through it.
Love it. Oh yeah, definitely. Honestly, you are the queen of manifestations.
We can all do it though. And what's really come through for me this year, because I used to really put myself behind a paywall when I started sort of teaching, because a big thing with that, because it was protective. I mean, I had a lot of trolling right at the start, and I used to think, I don't want to have anybody near me if they're, you know, if there's not behind a paywall. And it really came through to me at the start of this year that everybody's dream reality is different, right? And whenever anyone comes to me and says, like, I want to learn how to manifest, teach me how to manifest, everyone's coming with something different. Everyone's got a different thing that they want to manifest. But everybody's guaranteed exists on that frequency of joy and health and connection and abundance. Nobody's dream reality consists on the frequency of scarcity and fear and disease. So literally, I almost feel like I've got a job. Like, it's my duty. And I know that sounds really wanky, but I do feel it's my duty to try and get as many people as possible onto that fucking frequency. So come along and learn how to manifest, would you please? Do the world a favour. Do yourself one, because it's fun.
Oh, I love it. You are so living in your purpose. And no, I know... Do you know what? It doesn't sound wanky. I know exactly what you mean. I feel like I'm here to help people get home.
It feels so good though. Like, you read all these books, it's like you need to be of service. That used to trigger me, because I used to hold really religious connotations to it. And service immediately to me means like I'm doing some back baking, like I'm chaffing wheat in a fucking field or something. Like, do you know what? Again, a block. Like, no, being of service can be you doing what you love and just spilling it out to other people. So there's so many blocks. Blocks around service, blocks around wealthy men. Just dissolving them as I go.
Oh, it's amazing. Oh, thank you so much. Is there anything else? I could chat to you for ages. I love our chat.
I know, and I've got a block around a podcast, and I think I should just fuck it off, and we should just do this weekly. You know what? We can catch up live, and then you can do all the podcast behind the scenes stuff. I can just show up and talk.
I do think like no, seriously, like maybe we should, because I love doing these. And this is, you know what, I haven't recorded a podcast episode for ages. I've done my friend Monique, amazing, thank you Monique, she's like interviewing all the homeopaths and putting them on there, because I just literally don't really have the time. But I have the time for you, Viva, not to offend everyone else. But even when it's a bloody obstacle course, if you, people saw me, what I've had to go through to get on this.
I didn't think Tabby had given me the space to be able to do this today, but she's perked up, and I'm going to try some Ignatia, so I'll keep you posted on that as well.
Yeah, let me know. And when I get off of this, I'm actually going to quickly show Viva how to record a podcast, what I use, so hopefully she will be doing her own podcast. But yeah, I think we should we can brainstorm off the record.
Okay, we'll brainstorm on WhatsApp. Let's we'll save our ramblings for you. Spare your viewers our rambling.
Yeah, if viewers and listeners, you've got any ideas, then the message in. But yeah, we'll save you listening to our rambles. Awesome. Okay, sorry, we got sidetracked. Was there anything else before we say goodbye to the listeners?
Find me in that group. I'd love to help you step into your dream reality. It's my duty to help raise the consciousness. Not the consciousness. Fuck, that sounded like I think I'm doing this. I want to raise your vibe. I want to help you raise your vibe. So jump in the group.
Yeah, and yeah, you must. I'll put a link to it. All right, thank you so much, Viva.